The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 19th day of January 2022. Now, boy, do we have a lot tonight. This is Pledge Week. This is day three of Pledge Week. That means we have less than 6 hours left to raise enough money to stay on the air on the stations. And boy, and it's been some close ones, folks, but we've managed to stay on and not going off any stations. And so it's Pledge Week, and let me tell you what we're going to do. I'll give you the phone numbers right out of the chute. And the numbers out of the chute is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, we got a special tonight. We come across about a dozen left for the first dozen callers that want this of the Clinton Chronicles 2, the final chapter. Here, 20 years after the groundbreaking film, the Clinton Chronicles shook the presidency and altered our history by being the notable and single most influential video in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. This long-lost, never-before-seen sequel is discovered miraculously during one of the most important elections in American history. First-hand accounts on topics like drug smuggling, sexual perversion, rape, political marriage, and an eye on the Oval Office, and one of the most corrupt couples in American history. Nichols tells all, and 20 years later, his predictions are terrifyingly accurate and enough to make anyone question who the real Hillary Clinton is and what she does and what she wants. Well, folks, listen, I know I was an advisor on the original Clinton Chronicles years ago, and Larry Nichols did more to expose the corruption in the Clinton crime cartel. And I was right there with him in the very beginning. We were the first radio program to put it out. We were the very first ones to get it out on the airwaves. And so we have this video. Then we have another video, The Dark Side, that shows you about Hillary. It goes into the dark side. Because, see, the reason we're doing this now, Hillary has come out. She's back. The Clintons are back. And they're one more time, they're going to try to gain control. They know if they don't gain control, they could go to jail, especially Hillary. And so here we're going to, we have this one and The Dark Side of Hillary and the book 28 Years to Nowhere and the best of them all, The Bible Answer for Every Need. The Bible Answer for Every Need. So now you get all. We're asking a donation of $100 for all four, $100 for all four. But you got to let us know, you see. You got to let us know that that's what you need. You need that special. The four, two DVDs on the Clintons. And like I said, we've only got a limited amount, so it would be about the first dozen people that order them. Now, we do have plenty of the Bible answers for every need. We've got plenty of those left. And so the other one, which is, happens to be the best. So for any donation of $25 or more, this Bible answer for every need, it is absolute dynamite. I'm going to let Pastor Joe Larson tell you how good it is here in a minute. But to get started tonight, we have on the mic the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor.
In the studio, hoping someday that she'll weigh enough to leave footprints in the snow like all the rest of us. Little Lisa!
Good evening, everyone.
And sitting back there in the boiler room, we got Radical Randy and Whit. And then way out yonder, I have my co-host, none other than the Parson Joe Larson.
I'll tell you, folks, this is a tough crew. Anybody that would put up with Pastor Ernie night after night after night has to be tough. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad this isn't the comedy hour because I doubt we'd raise a lot of money.
All righty, very good. Well, listen, yes, I've got the whole crew trained here, too, in case I'm in danger to throw their bodies in front of me. So there you go.
Oh, boy. Lisa couldn't cover your shadow.
No. All right, there you go. We have to, we got to get serious. We got serious stuff to do tonight. All righty. The phone numbers, lines are open at 888-281-1110. And looks like calls are coming in already. And 888-677-9673. Now, again, I wanted to just say, Joe, we did that special last night.
And on that special, Dr. Cass's books.
Yeah. Well, we have three of the five books, but we're waiting on the other two. We're waiting on the other two. And so it may be a few days. So, folks, if you've ordered those, if you sent it in, you got to give us a little time to get them to you because we're still waiting to get the two big books in from Dr. Cass. And so we've got already Carl from Brooklyn, Brooklyn, New Jersey, pledges 100. Thank you, Carl. So it looks like they're coming in already. Praise the good Lord for that. So, Joe, let's pick it up where we left off last night.
We were talking about the rapture. Well, the title was Understanding Radicetious, right? Or that was the...
Rapsius, the Rapsius, yeah.
Rapsius.
And so here, and that's the root word for what? Rapture.
Rapture.
Now we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. So pick it up and read 54 through 58.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
So when we have glorified bodies, then the corruptible will be put away with incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality.
Immortality, right. Our soul will be made immortal forever.
Right. And so we will, wasn't that the original, or was it Adam and Eve, weren't we supposed to live originally forever?
Right. I don't know if they have would have had the same glorified body that we're going to have, but they would have been immortal had they not sinned.
Okay, so now, but sin entered in. So what's going to keep sin from entering in again?
Because the glorified body, it's the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. It's the flesh that causes us to sin.
Okay, but once we have our glorified bodies, let me ask you this. When Christ died and took upon the cross, he took that substitutionary position, he paid for the sins, what, past, present, and what?
Future.
So all sins were paid for. It was a completed act, a finalized act, was it not?
Right.
So once then,
forever.
So then, that for that reason, sin can no longer enter in.
Right. Once and done.
Okay, so now here, the strength of sin is in the law. Why is the strength of sin in the law?
Because it's the law that convicts us of our sin, that makes us understand that we must have a Savior. Without that being convicted, we wouldn't turn to the Lord for our Savior. We would not think we need one.
So what is it about the law, okay, that convicted us of sin? I mean, the law is a good thing. The law was perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was what we needed to live by to have a peaceful, wonderful life.
So the law was perfect, but why is it then, because it was perfect, was it insufficient to keep us, from taking away our sin?
Well, it doesn't take away. It would have kept us from sinning against God, but because we have free will, we are going to choose our way instead of His way sometime or another.
Okay, now,
very often.
If we had complied, if we were able to obey the law and fulfill the law, then
we would have lived forever.
Right, but because the law is perfect and we are not,
right,
then the only thing the law could do for us would be condemn us.
Right.
Okay, so now here, when he says, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So all right, if we go out and tonight we pray for somebody tonight and they die anyway, or if we go out and we help some people out there, let's say we pull somebody out of a burning building and later on they die anyhow. If we don't see, immediate, if we don't see the Lord, our prayers being answered and our labors immediately being rewarded, does that mean they're not going to be?
Not at all, because it's really with the Lord. Well, like he explains when he was talking about the garden, some people till the ground, some sow, some water, some bring in the harvest, but everybody is doing something that glorifies God. He gave us these examples. So it is what we do for our fellow brothers and sisters that glorifies God, and that is what he looks at. He looks at what we're doing from the heart. He is responsible for, you know, what happens after that,
results. So God's got a pretty good, keeps a pretty good record of things, huh?
He extremely good. He knows every hair on our head and every thought we've ever had, every word we've ever said, every dream we've ever dreamed.
So is there a particular time when our good works, when we will receive that, all of our good works, we will receive those rewards?
Right. He tells us to lay up crowns and treasures in heaven where there, you know, things won't rust or be stolen, and that's where we're to concentrate.
Well that's
doing.
True, but is there a particular time when those rewards will be given to us? It's called,
right,
Bema.
Bema, yeah. Every once in a while I can't grab something quickly.
It's a Bema Seat Judgment. So at the Bema Seat Judgment, then we will receive our rewards, will we not?
Right. Instead of being judged, that's when we receive our rewards.
Okay.
The unsaved get the white throne of judgment. They receive their punishment. The born-again believers then receive their crowns and treasures for heaven.
So how would you say, what percentage of the possibility is that actually going to happen, that the believers will receive the reward at the Bema Seat and the unsaved, the Democrats, would receive theirs at the White Throne?
I'd say it's 100%. God's Word, God cannot lie. God is infallible. God is immutable. He cannot change. So what he said is going to happen, whether they believe it or not, doesn't matter.
I'm going to hear from people say, Now, you didn't have to say Democrats. You could, because, you know, some Democrats could be saved. Well, yeah, but in order to be saved, you Democrats, there must be repentance. There must be repentance. Without repentance,
no salvation.
Scripture
said, continue to vote for people who kill babies, who murder babies in the womb, shed innocent blood. If you support that by your vote, by your belief, you are then sharing in the murder of those innocent children, and God will hold that in judgment. It's real simple. You cannot be a Democrat and, you know, believe and help people stay in power who are killing God's precious children. He is not going to accept that.
Well, you know what is happening, and right now they're bailing out. Many people are getting out. They're saying, look, in fact, I just heard three politicians today come out and say, we can't stay in, you just cannot in good conscience stay in this party anymore. It has become too corrupt. Yeah.
Been corrupt since they've been pushing abortion for all these years. So
any decent people left in there have to go. All right, I got to give the numbers out. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. All righty, here you go. We have Judy called again from Troy, Michigan, and pledges another 100. I got a feeling Judy wants those other four books.
She must. Building her library.
Yeah, but remember, folks, when you send that in, you must tell us that you want. If you don't tell us that that's what you want, we won't send it to you. And we must have a return address. We must have a very clear return address, okay? Also, Bob from New Jersey pledges 100. Bob from New Jersey pledges 100. So, where's the applause? Where's my
Lisa falling down on the job again? There
you go. All right, okay. We got to get that applause. We got to get that applause is every bit as real as Joe Biden is president of the United States. So. All righty, here we have
On with this Bible study. We're going to be so far behind.
All right, well then turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and read verse 9 and 10.
For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Okay, so then why should, what he's saying, you must turn from your sin to show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned from God, how you turned to God from idols and served the living and true God. And to, here's the reason that he's telling them they need to do that and do it right away. And to wait for his Son from heaven, the return of the Lord, right?
Right.
Whom raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What does that mean, he delivered us from the wrath to come?
That means we are going to be spared the tribulation, the wrath of God that comes in the tribulation period. We will be saved, delivered from that. Raptured, delivered, catching up, taken up. Taken out, we will be taken away before God's wrath really comes.
Well, you have these people, and I hear them all the time, and they complain about you and I, Joe, and they complain and say, that these guys say that you're going to be taken. No, don't worry, they're not going to have to go through it. Those that want to, the fear, those that want to keep telling you fear and spreading fear, and even believers, and so. They're saying that don't believe that you're going to go through the tribulation. Joe, let me ask you a question, right? If your house caught on fire, you would pour water on it to put the fire out, huh?
I sure would.
Because that's why you would do it, because it was on fire. What if it wasn't on fire? Would you pour water on your house anyhow?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not, I don't have a sod house. I don't have to water the roof to keep the grass growing.
No, you see, So there's a purpose. The purpose is, if there's a fire, to put it out. Now, there's a purpose for the tribulation period. The purpose of the tribulation period is, one, the purification of the nation of Israel, and what?
And the destruction of God's enemies.
Right, the judgment on...
The judgment.
Okay, so now, that's the purpose. Does the church fit in either one of those categories?
No.
So there would be absolutely no purpose in the church going through the tribulation period?
No, no reason whatsoever.
No, okay,
we're
well then...
We're not Israel, we don't have to be purified, and if we're born-again believers, we are the children, the sons and daughters of God, not the enemy of God. So he is not going to kill his children, he is going to kill his enemies.
That makes sense.
It's rather simple, really. You know, it's not complicated. Even a brain-damaged, you know, assistant, the pastor can understand that.
Well, let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because you're on a roll.
All right.
And go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 12.
All right. Oh, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they perceive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
All right, so it says, now we beseech you, brother, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So now, are we describing the rapture of the church age saints, or are we describing the rapture of the tribulation saints?
Good question. For the he that loveth until he be taken out of the way. This would have to be in the tribulation, because you've got the Antichrist coming.
Nope. You missed this one. Okay, see here. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and gathering together unto him, that you soon be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word nor letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand.
Oh, yeah, that is the rapture, the day of Christ. I was thinking that verse 7, until he be taken out of the way, that would refer later, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so the day of Christ always deals with salvation.
Right.
He's the deliverer, he's the redeemer, okay, he's the Messiah. And so here now,
this is verse 7, the tribulation saints?
Well, what was taking place there, there were those that were spreading rumors saying that the rapture had taken place and upsetting people, saying it was too late, you know, they're gone. The rapture already took place. Now, he is telling them, no, don't let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, has there been a falling away?
Oh, yes, there's been a falling away, but it's been a gradual, continual falling away.
So there has been a falling away. Now, And he says there be now that the son of perdition be revealed. Now,
man of lawlessness.
There, in one sense, there are those you and I, we have. We have some opinions, okay, of who this could be. The Antichrist could be here. But then it goes on to say that after the rapture takes place, then he'll be revealed. But we already have some ideas. We know right now we can identify many Antichrists out there. If I were to say, well, who would you say would be the best candidate for the Antichrist? I would say Obama for a number of reasons, okay? But we're going to break away here, pick it up here tomorrow, Joe, and we're going to play a clip. Now, folks, this clip goes back to 1971. And listen, and pay close attention. Remember what Solomon said? There's nothing new under the sun.
We dug up this clip. Melissa found this clip online somewhere. I could not believe it. This is a sensational, ridiculous, repugnant clip because they just say these things with a straight face, with no reaction, and then they balance them out with just equal time of regurgitated propaganda about how great vaccines are, how good the government is, and how much they're trying to protect you, and especially children.
Today, doctors at the Federal Communicable Disease Center acknowledge the flu vaccine and the recommended dosage is ineffective, while in a larger dose, it can be harmful. However, the flu vaccine is still recommended for old people and the chronically ill.
Right here, they just admit that the government continues to push and propagate vaccines, tell you you have to take them, you should take them, you're a bad person if you don't. Even though they admit that these vaccines are ineffective, they admit that they suppressed reports from scientists who found that they were ineffective. They wouldn't publish these studies for over a decade.
Last month, a Senate subcommittee headed by Abraham Ribicoff charged that the federal government wasn't doing a good enough job of informing the public about ineffective vaccines.
Scientists at the Division of Biologic Standards test vaccines for their potency and safety before licensing them for public use. However, the division does not determine the effectiveness of the vaccine. That is left to the manufacturers. A case in point is the influenza vaccine. Four scientists in charge of work on the flu vaccine during the 1960s found it to be ineffective, said they refused to give it to their own families. Two were transferred to other work, a third left the division. And over the entire 10-year period, not one word of their unfavorable findings was allowed to be published.
And worse, they admit that they continued to administer the vaccines even when they knew they had a cancer agent contaminant in them.
But a more serious case involving the relationship between the leaders of the division and their scientists involves the adenovirus vaccine, a vaccine given to thousands of American soldiers to prevent certain cold-like symptoms. When it was shown that the vaccine contained a contaminant which caused cancer in laboratory animals, it was taken off the market.
Did you hear that? Let's play it again.
That the vaccine contained a contaminant which caused cancer.
Did you hear that? They admitted that these vaccines have a cancer-causing agent. They knew about it, and the government sat on this information.
But that was 3 years after the division's own scientists had pointed out the danger. Dr. Murray justifies the use of the vaccine by saying it took 3 years to examine the evidence against it.
It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
And they were still administering it to the soldiers and saying it was just more important to give out the vaccines than to not vaccinate.
It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent. But since the agent couldn't be removed, there was no other course.
Still administering it to the soldiers.
Thus, for 3 years, American troops were injected with a cold-preventing vaccine, which was causing cancer in laboratory animals.
And the most incredible part, did they find about it just now in this 1971 TV clip? No. These newspaper articles show that they knew about this at least in 1965. That's how long it took them to tell the public and how long it took them to get it out of the vaccines. And that's how long it went on for. And right here, the microbiologist, who's actually a nun, in an article that says nothing to worry about, there's no connection here, admits that the agent inside of the adenovirus has been found to be cancer-causing in animals, and more so that it's worse and creates kind of a more deadly combination when it's combined with a certain other agent, which just so happens to be SV40, the exact cancer-causing agent that was accidentally found in previous vaccines that were administered to millions of people in the polio vaccine in the largest ever government push to have a population vaccinated. And they found this stuff. They knew this stuff was in there. Just imagine what happens for anyone who got a tainted batch of this adeno vaccine as well as a tainted batch of the polio vaccine containing SV40. If this article is correct, anyone who got both vaccines would theoretically be at a much higher risk for getting cancer, because in the animal studies it was found that it was definitely worse when both of these were present. And the media just casually reports this. It's clear what the government's opinion is, and they just round out the piece with a brief pause, a note that, well, things could be done better. There's lessons to be learned.
There are serious questions about the public health policies of the United States.
But keep vaccinating. This is the most important thing. Vaccinate, vaccinate,
and yet
vaccinate.
The authors of the memo say that vaccination, such as at this Maryland elementary school, is one of the public health service's most effective checks against communicable disease.
Well, it's cause for concern, but now we have to give equal time of propaganda to a regurgitation of the fact that vaccination is great. It's wiping out disease, and these kids should line up and take their vaccine. And they just say this with a calm face. They admit that they ignored evidence that could be linked to people getting cancer. They know that there must be a risk. Instead of pulling the vaccine and studying to eliminate the possibility of risk, they just kept giving it to people. Well, the risk hasn't been shown yet. Are you kidding me? I can't even believe that they just said these two things together in one clip, barely taking a breath. Even though there's risk, just keep vaccinating. It's worth it because maybe. Because vaccines. It's a total logical fallacy. The answer to everything is because vaccines. Despite the risk, because vaccines. It makes no sense, but they're shoving it down everyone's throat. They knew, but continued to administer the vaccines. But we know that all the vaccine scientists who found problems, who were anywhere from mildly concerned to so concerned they refused to give it to their own children and family, anyone who found problems were suppressed, were run out of their departments.
Some of the division scientists who charged they were prevented from publishing results of experiments which show some of the vaccines to be ineffective.
The control officer in 1960. Who has grave doubts about the potency of influenza vaccine. These doubts were made known to the director of the division and through the proper channels, and somewhat subsequent to that time, within a year or so, that person was transferred to other duties in the DBS.
That is what happened. They stopped scientists from reporting the unfavorable findings, covered it up, continued to administer the vaccines, and then only way later warned the public just to tell them, no big deal, it's all right.
In the testing influenza vaccine, the people are working under a tremendous amount of pressure, and this does cause internal stress. It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
All righty, we are back, and I wanted to say that we have Miss McCurdy in Cleveland pledges 35, Audrey in Michigan pledges 100, Anonymous in Oregon pledges 125. Pardon?
The next name is Tony.
Oh, okay. All right. Tony in Parma pledges 120, and Gary in Illinois pledges 100. Thank you, thank you.
You know, Pastor, when I heard this clip, I almost think we ought to...
I think I know what you're going to think. Look, from 1965 to 1971... there were two young soldiers that were in the military and trusted, they were gullible enough to trust.
Yeah.
and they got those shots.
Yes, I know two of them. I think we need to take that, if you can, find out if we can make copies of that on a CD or something. I think we ought to, you know, I'll put up some money to make CDs out of that and send that all over the place.
We have ordered some CDs too. If we ever get in, they're really powerful. In fact, we're going to be showing this coming Sunday at the church, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, We're going to be showing this CD at 4:30 this coming Sunday, Lord's willing. And it is very, very powerful.
So will it have the information of this clip you just played?
No, it's going to even have more information than what's on this clip here. In fact,
but does it cover that same stuff, though?
No. But we can. I can take that and see if I. I don't know. Maybe put it on a thumb drive, or maybe get it
something,
on a CD
yeah.
or something. I'll tell you what. I'll have one of the Heather or one of them send it to you, and then you can do whatever you want with it. And
all right.
Okay, so I will do that. But meanwhile. What I wanted to say was what I was going to play was here. This is Explosive. This is the video we played the first 30 minutes by Steve Quayle, Mike Adams, and Gary Haven. It's very, very powerful video. It's about an hour and 38 minutes long. And we're going to, Lord's willing, we'll be showing this coming Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. At 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. All right, moving on here. Woke ideology is cruel evil, and it won't end well. For Victor David Hansen tells us this, he's a very, very smart individual.
Boy, is he. He is well-spoken. He is one of the few real professors out there at Hoover Institution. He's a senior fellow there, and he pretty much speaking out, and that this ideology, he said, needs to be redefined for what it is. It's evil, it's cruel, and this is how we fight it. He said it is a very evil ideology because it's cruel, it's mean-spirited.
But listen, is it really an ideology? See, an ideology means that you formed these ideas off certain things. This woke thing is just Heather Skeather. There's no sanity in it at all.
Well, that's why he calls it an evil one, because the purpose of this is to cause hatred, fear, dissension. And he said, is it why we're not talking about it? Because the all through history, they've used this kind of evil stinking thinking, we used to call it, and it harms societies and sends them on the wrong track, and it helps destroy nations. So I can see why you use those words, evil ideology. It may not be true, you know. He didn't say it's a true ideology, but it is definitely evil.
Hey, Pastor.
Okay. Yes.
Shoot in very quickly. We have a caller who is really interested in knowing if ivermectin works for just a regular kind of like flu and pneumonia.
As far as does ivermectin work for it? I believe it does for the regular flu and pneumonia. But I tell you who, the people who could give you a much better advice on that would be a nurse, Elaine Connolly. Nurse Elaine Connolly. And she's going to be speaking this coming Saturday at the Trinity, it's called the Thirsty Cowboy. And that's going to be at 8:30 when McFan welcomes Elaine Connolly, Nurse Elaine Connolly with Wealth and Wellness. And Elaine is going to be there. She really is up on all of this. Now, I would say
her phone number too.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have her phone number right here, but
I've got it right here.
All righty.
Call her. The phone number for Elaine Connolly. 440-478-4073. 440-478-4073. Nurse Elaine Connolly.
Or Wendy Wilson, you could answer that for you.
Yep.
Very well. Or, Dr. Cass, the fellow we had here last night, Ingram. I haven't heard of them using ivermectin for the common cold before, but I don't know.
Remember, COVID, the common cold is a COVID virus, so if ivermectin helps with Omicron, which is very similar to the common cold, it is highly possible that it will help. but I don't have the answer, but you gave out the people that'll have it.
All righty, so here now, I wanted to just say one more time, she will be speaking January 22nd, Saturday, at 8:30 p.m., and the address, and that's what I'm looking for. Let me see. Where is the address? Okay. Well, they don't give me the address here. Oh, yes, it is. The address is 2743 Medina Road, 2743 Medina Road in Medina, Ohio. The cost for the meeting is $5 per person to cover the room rental and coffee. No charge for first-time guests. And Lisa Woods, if you have, you can get more information. I know Lisa by calling Lisa Woods at 330-241-5226. That's 330-241-5226. Folks, make it out there. Elaine is going to be speaking on very interesting. She's going to tell you what's in those vaccines and why you really want no part of those things. All right, let me see here. So we got to pick it up with...
Well, let me say that one. Professor Hansen, David Hansen, said, "In this, the academics caused this kind of evil ideology. If it continues, they call it systems collapse, where all of a sudden the successful society suddenly doesn't follow its tradition, its rules, and things happen that people cannot believe, like empty shells, like you go to fill up your car and it costs you more money than you can afford. These are the things where a society starts to unwind, and if it gets to a point, it can't continue without collapse." Like he's talking about the refusal to take and put criminals in jail, and to stop the illegals from crossing into our border, letting people who aren't citizens vote, all this kind of thing, is leading to a civilization collapse. And where the civilization, where it's happening, remember the Cloward Priven strategy is overload the system with all kinds of problems. In this case, lack of food, lack of energy, all kinds of problems with jobs, money, inflation. You collapse the society, then you can build back the communist system, because it'll take a strong man, a dictator, to bring back control, which is government control, which is what the Democrats want.
Well, so you know, here's what
of our civilization.
Yep, here's what he said. He says, "We fear the government, and so the government lost credibility, morality. We've got to restore it by all of those DAs refusing, to prosecute crimes. You have to be arrested. You have to be indicted if you're guilty. You have to serve your time to regain confidence and make it safe again to be a human again." Hansen said, "When you look at the career of Fauci and Milley, that's General Milley, and Comey,
FBI,
and McCabe, the FBI, that, you know, the FBI is the Federal Bureau of Insurrection. That's what it is. It's the Federal Bureau of Insurrection. So these have all lost legitimacy. The Pentagon has, you know, we call it the Pentagram now. It's lost, and little by little they've been doing it. So we've got to take the country back, and we can only do that by digging in, no compromise. And the first thing we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. But these people, when you're fighting against God, what's your chance of winning that one?
Zip, zilch, zero.
All right, well, here's a good article here. It says, you know, "I foresee a day in American history where they could be..." He's talking about the Bibles. "You're fighting against God. YouTube pounces on the Bible as hate speech." Well, you know, they pulled me down off. They knocked me off.
Long time ago.
"Yeah, I foresee a day in American history where they could be confiscated or rewritten." He's talking about the Bible. The YouTube this week determined a sermon from Christian leader Pastor John MacArthur is hate speech for stating both biblical precept and scientific fact. According to columnist Todd Stairs, YouTube removed the clip and sent me a message saying the pastor's sermon was hate speech. Big tech players said, our team has reviewed your content, and unfortunately we think it violates our hate speech policy. We removed you following content from the YouTube. There's no such thing as transgender. You are either XX or XY. That is Pastor John MacArthur. And so
he came out and said, you know, God made two sexes, male and female, and that's it. He did not make, you know, a dozen other sexes, and they didn't like that, apparently, there at YouTube.
Yeah, well, you know, those that, you know, there's a saying that, what is it, hate the truth?
Those who hate the, those who hate the, no. Yeah, I had that a little while ago, and now we're coming.
Okay.
Anyway, while you're thinking of that, what happened is Pastor John MacArthur was responding to, up in Canada, they just passed legislation that would silence pastors on the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressors issue, and it threatens the pastors who speak biblical or even scientific messages about the LGBT with up to 5 years in prison. So this pastor is saying, hey, you know, the science says, you know, they say believe the science. You're either male or female. It's on the DNA level. No matter what, how many body mutilations you do, your DNA is still one either XX or XY. That's the only thing that there is. And now in Canada, if you preach against sodomy and you preach against the LGBT, lewd, gross, belligerent transgressors, they can put you in jail. They've closed churches, and now it's jail time, folks. These people are serious. This, we've told you, this is a spiritual war. This is the Antichrist system against Christ and his followers, you and I, his born-again believing children. And this is a spiritual war.
That's
and
not just happening there in Canada.
It's
here, the Biden... Europe. Biden creating database of people and their religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. The Biden regime has begun keeping tabs on everyone who asked for a religious exemption from the federal government's list of mandates, a new report explains. A column by Sarah Parshall Perry and Giancarlo Canapero at the Daily Signal explains that it is the pretrial service agency for the District of Columbia that has revealed a policy that will likely serve as a model for a whole off for the whole of government push to assemble lists of Americans who object to on religious grounds to COVID-19. Remember, Joe Biden is an antichrist, folks. You better wake up and understand this. Joe Biden is an antichrist.
He is not your Uncle Joe. He is an evil. I could say a word, S-O something, but yeah. Todd Starnes is writing in this article, Pastor. He said, I foresee a day in American history where Bibles could be confiscated or rewritten. Oh, they're already doing that. Remember, they rewrote the Bible.
Over 100, or no, it's over right now. It's up to over 200 perversions of the Bible.
Right, but they rewrote it to especially include the LGBTQIA, whatever. All they've added so many letters, I can't remember them all, to make it acceptable to them.
LGBTQ, the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers.
Squares and then
lewd, gross,
IA,
yeah.
Something else to it, I don't know. But anyway, think about it. Big Tech is already implementing the equivalent of Canada's law. They censor truth. They censor the right of pastors to teach, preach the Bible. And, you know, they shut people down. Stop your Facebook page. Stop your Twitter accounts. That's already happening right now in America. So we see this going on. This is truly a physical war, a political war, a spiritual war, and it's happening because too many people have not accepted the fact that we're in a war. We're watching a communist revolution take place across the world. In fact, I want to bring this up right now. You think I'm wrong. Headlines from the London Daily Mail. Grim reality of Britain, ravaged by the highest inflation for 30 years.
Hotels closed, floors and bars to cope with soaring bills. Supermarkets say rising prices mean customers are turning to food banks. And factories warn that they could shut. But before we go any further, folks, I've been sitting here and I have not seen the phones ringing, you know, because little lights light up when the phones ring and they're not ringing. And you got Randy and Whit in there talking to each other.
Oh, that could be bad.
Yeah, it is. And we don't know where Little Lisa is. She's fluttering about somewhere. And Andy's sitting there. Andy's very lonely right now. He wants that phone to ring. So 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. I saw Lisa. She was riding on a bubble.
Oh.
Okay. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. You don't know what that means? All right, there you go. She couldn't. That kind of went over Andy's head, went over his head. Okay.
I just want to remind the listeners out there that in all the years you've been on the radio, which is probably more years than a lot of our listeners are old, you've never taken a salary, never taken any money for the radio ministry, and neither has anyone else with you ever taken a dime. We all donate our own time, our own talent, our own treasure to keep this ministry going. We are here because we were called, you were called, and those that come with you to be watchmen on the wall. And we have a, Pastor, and he set this up in a true partnership between the listeners and the people in the ministry. Your donations pay the bills. We're doing the work, warning you of the things you need to know when they're taking away your freedom, whether it's your political freedom, your freedom of religion, speech, whatever it is, and also teaching you God's Word, making sure you have the truth of Scripture, of the Word, and what's happening in the world. So we really need your help. We pray and put the whole future of the ministry is in your hands. If you donate, we can pay the bill at the radio station. But the stations that in time can't become self-supporting, we cannot keep them. So if you want to continue hearing, you have to talk to your friends and neighbors and donate and make sure we stay on the station you hear us.
I got to jump in here. I got to let the folks know, too, that it would help us right now. We appreciate when you, in the past, you've donated by PayPal, and you can still do that, but it will help us more if instead you could do it by check or money order. Here's why. Pastor Bruce, who was a godly man, what a good pastor. What a help to me. He was a tremendous help. And even though 79 years old, he was still hitting those streets. He was out in those streets in the coldest of days. He was still out there because he had a love for the unborn. A real pastor, okay? A real pastor, the kind of, anyhow, Pastor Bruce, obviously, you know, he passed away. But it happened so quickly, we did not have time to pass on the information. He handled the YouTube account. He handled some different checking of the Right to Life accounts and that. And there's things like passwords and all these things that we need to continue in that. And we'll eventually find out that information. He didn't leave that with any of us, but we'll find that out. But until then, it would help us for right now if you could do it by check or money order. All right, so we are running up on the break. Now, when we come back from this break, we're going to play about a four-minute clip. And folks, you're going to find out what's in your food. You might not like this, but listen very carefully. We'll be back after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065.
If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.